Greetings, kind and wise and holy pilgrims walking on your path to God today. It's Pastor Bob, broadcasting to you from the parsonage in Arthur, Illinois, the House of Peace. And today we bring you episode 2 of The Gift of Gratitude. And how grateful I am to be able to bring this to you and for you to have time in your day to take 10 minutes or so and experience a very holy spiritual time with God, with you alone, as you delve into this very interesting and important topic, gratitude. So as we prepare today's lesson, we want you to know that we are spiritually intact and ready to go. We've brought in our favorite gaggle of monks singing the chant of the mystics. We've got the cinnamon cider candle. That candle, by the way, came from Jerry and Joan Winter's shop down on Vine Street. We want to keep Joan in our prayers. She's in the hospital right now and struggling a little bit. And still having tests done, but God bless her. Keep her and Jerry both in your prayers today. And we have the tea, and we have the double bag, but it's kava with the three ginger. That is just so smooth. That's a great combination there, that kava with the three ginger. I want to remember that. So yesterday we introduced ourselves to the concept of gratitude and emphasized, if you remember, the two-way street, really the reciprocal relationship that gratitude contains within it. It's not just a being thankful for something. It incorporates that thankfulness, but it's also acting on that thankfulness because you're moved so deeply in your thankfulness that it becomes a relationship. It becomes a following act, a response, if you will. So that gratitude is really an action and not just a feeling. You're so grateful that indeed you create a response of thankfulness, and that continues on. So the question becomes for us today in episode 2, what's your relationship with Christ like? How grateful are we for what He has done in our lives? We may be thankful. We may think it's something good that He's done, and we're thankful for that, and we hope it all works out, right? Or we can be grateful for that. So grateful deep down in our soul that we are urged, compelled even, to respond. Respond to Jesus, respond to His Father in heaven, respond to life on earth because of what Jesus has done for us. We are so thankful that we respond with our life to Jesus Christ. So today, we're going to read some scripture from Mark for our episode. It's the scripture of the crucifixion, which, let's face it, is probably only really read around Easter time, maybe even on Good Friday. It's the crucifixion, and it exemplifies the sacrifice that Jesus' whole life is about for you. His whole being is about you. It's personal to you. So that you'll not just be thankful that He went to the cross, and you'll understand that in some way, but you'll also be thankful for what it means to you. Remember? Understanding the meaning for you. And when you get to that point of understanding the meaning of the crucifixion for you personally, then gratitude blossoms and you must respond. You must listen to His words and His urgings. You must follow His way You must learn from his teachings. And yes, you indeed must reciprocate, being so grateful that you give your life for him the way he gave his life for you. Here's how his physical life on earth ended. It's the story of the crucifixion. We're going to use the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verses 22 to 41. That's Mark 15, 22 to 41. I want us to listen to these words of the Gospel, the first Gospel ever written, as if you're listening for the very first time, and understanding that this isn't just some kind of universal historical act that this man named Jesus went through, but it's personal. It's about you. It's about the relationship between you and him. It's about who God is and the kind of God we have. Open our hearts to these words. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, and put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. So you see, these sufferings of Jesus and the final sufferings indeed are an essential way for us to enter into the life of Jesus. We cannot disclaim indeed that Jesus is far removed from our sufferings that we face. In fact, the Gospels show us that he faced not only the physical sufferings, but emotional ones. As Father James Martin points out in his book, Jesus, a Pilgrimage, he quotes St. Paul, who convinces us that we do not have a God who doesn't understand our suffering. We have a God who participates in our suffering. And this participation of each of our sufferings is our entry point into Jesus' life for us, and an entry point for him into ours. Indeed, this is where gratitude finds its path between us and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For he endured the physical suffering, but also the emotional suffering, the abandonment, the betrayal, seeing others suffer, that we all feel in our everyday life. He knows that suffering. He knows how it affects us. It's how he truly knows us and how we can truly know him. So let us be grateful for the life and death of Jesus. Let us reciprocate for that gift that he's given each of us personally, with a personal gift back of our life, just as it is. And let us endure, indeed, the life we have, knowing that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. And as he promised, he'll never leave us or forsake us. And as we turn on that path towards home, indeed, we can be grateful that he's there waiting for us every day, waiting and watching and ready to run right to us and hold out his hands, spread his arms, and embrace us and say, "Welcome home, brother or sister." We must celebrate. That's gratitude. Our morning prayer today is Mary Oliver's morning poem from 1986. Every morning the world is created. Under the orange sticks of the sun, the heaped ashes of the night turn into leaves again and fasten themselves to the high branches. And the ponds appear like black cloth on which are painted islands of summer lilies. If it is your nature to be happy, you will swim away along the soft trails for hours, your imagination alighting everywhere. And if your spirit carries within it the thorn that is heavier than lead, if it's all you can do to keep on trudging, there is still somewhere deep within you a beast shouting that the earth is exactly what it wanted. Each pond with its blazing lilies is a prayer heard and answered lavishly every morning. Whether or not you have ever dared to be happy, whether or not you have ever dared to pray. The Morning Poem by Mary Oliver. Every morning the world is created. Under the orange sticks of the sun, the heaped ashes of the night turn into leaves again and fasten themselves to the high branches, and the ponds appear like black cloth on which are painted islands of summer lilies. If it is your nature to be happy, you will swim away along the soft trails for hours, your imagination alighting everywhere. And if your spirit carries within it the thorn that is heavier than lead, if it's all you can do to keep on trudging, there is still somewhere deep within you a beast shouting that the earth is exactly what it wanted. Each pond with its blazing lilies is a prayer heard and answered lavishly every morning. Whether or not you have ever dared to be happy, whether or not you have ever dared to pray. Amen. Thank you, pilgrims, and we'll be back again tomorrow with another gift of gratitude. Amen.